Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, well, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word that is coming forth with your power in it. In Jesus' name, say, open my heart, give me your word, and let it make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, got a very specific part of this message today, and it's probably just going to be a one-off message today. And as I've done this, I'm like, well, Lord, I've kind of preached on that a few years ago already. But the Lord has been bringing it just back to me, and not just the one word, but he added another word to it that I feel like I must go back and bring that, probably the second part of what I should have done a couple of years ago. But go ahead and put up the first note today. Two values in life that shapes our lives, our relationships, and everything about us. Amen. And even our faith. And say it with me. It is what? Consistency and loyalty. Now, I've preached on consistency before. And it's one of the things I think that is hurting the American church is we're just not really consistent. Come on. Consistence means you're there and you're there and you're there and you're there. You're consistently. And I think I remember one of the things I remember saying it when I preached it a few years ago was the biggest consistency we seem to have right now in the American church is our inconsistency. We're very consistent about being inconsistent. Come on. Amen. But I believe right now, this rare commodity, I believe we're in a time and a season right now in America where God is going to begin to restore the consistency to those who go after it. Amen. I believe there's a good comeback to it about to happen. And the thing about it is, again, with everything with God, you get to choose. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you get to choose. You get to choose whether you can be consistent and loyal or you be inconsistent and unloyal. And here's the thing about it. It doesn't matter which one you choose, there is a equal reaction and what you receive from what you choose. So if you can choose consistency and loyalty today, you're going to get a reward for it. If you choose opposite of it, there's also, I don't really want to call it a reward, but you sow and reap. Let's just say sow and reap. Okay, that's a good way to put it. But this morning, real quickly, and this is not going to be in your notes, so you may want to write these down. When we talk about consistency, the word consistency written out like we spell it in the English language is not a lot in the Bible that uses our English word consistency. But when you understand consistency and the different meanings it has, it shows up in the Bible. I want to give you just a few of them real quickly. One of the biggest ones, another word for consistency that the Bible does interpret, is called steadfast. There's lots of scriptures about being steadfast, but in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And that means the steadfast there means you can put the word consistency there. Be consistent, okay? Another place in scripture that I love this one, faithful or faithfulness is another word for consistent. It means you're being faithful to it, amen? And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards, we're stewards of God's words, that one be found faithful. In other words, you've got to be a consistent steward of the word of God and the things of God. Now, this next one found in Hebrews chapter 12 says, let us run with endurance. Another translation says perseverance. Also a translation of the word consistent, okay? So let us run the race with endurance that's set before us. Okay, endurance. You got to be consistent to endure something, amen? If you're going to persevere at something, that means you don't give up, you don't give out, you don't give in. You consistently pursue it and you persevere at the end. And then one of my favorite ones, and again, it's another two-word one. It's found in 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind." Some people translate it as self-control or self-discipline. English Standard Version uses, I think, self-control. Another version uses self-discipline. You cannot have self-control outside of being consistent. Amen. And that's one of the problems. We don't have self-control because we are not consistent and loyal sometimes. Okay? And I want to get this in you today to where you can be a part of what I believe is a great comeback for not just America, but especially starting it to and through His church and His word. Being consistent and being loyal. Last time I just preached on consistency, but God has shown me your consistency has to produce loyalty. You can be consistent and still not be blessed. You've got to add that loyalty with it. Because loyalty takes consistency to a whole nother realm of God's glory and a whole nother realm of His blessed reward for doing them together. Okay, are you with me? So the question becomes, have you ever been around this person, and maybe if you haven't, you may be this person, where one minute they're just on fire about something. So stoked up about it. I mean, whoa, this is great. Man, this is awesome. And it's like within 24 hours or a week or maybe next month, they're totally cold against it. Come on, how many know that person? How many are sitting beside them? No, keep your hand down. Don't put your hand up. How frustrating is it to be around that person? It is so frustrating. And I mean, it's in the church world, it's in the job world, it's in our hobby world, it's in marriages, it's everywhere you look. Woo! One minute, and Oh man, you are so draining. Do you understand the drain you put on people when you're like that constantly? You're consistently like that? Turn to your neighbor and say, they're not fun to be around. But how about someone that you know you can really count on? Take the person who's always flip-flopping about everything. And then you take that person. How many know someone you can count on? Pretty doggone good. They're consistent. They're loyalty. What a peace that brings you to know that that person's like that. Isn't it good to know they're not going to be just this roller coaster? I mean, now we all have somewhat of a roller coaster in our life because of circumstances. We know that. That's why you got to have words like consistency and loyalty. Because life will throw things at you like a roller coaster. Can I have a better amen there? But when you get around that person, the security that you feel around them because you know they're steadfast, you know they're faithful, you know they'll persevere, you know they'll endure, that you know they've got self-control and self-discipline. And it is just a joy to be around that person. Can I have a better amen there? Amen? So how many of you know that you and I are called to be that person? You're not called to be the one that drives everybody crazy. You're called to be that constant, loyal, faithful friend, servant of God, child of the Most High God, all the time. And that's why it requires consistency and loyalty too. Are y'all okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, God called you to be that person. Now, God would not call you and I to be that person unless we could be. He's not going to call us to something that He's not going to empower us to do. And He's not going to call us to something that He Himself will not set the standard in. So Jesus and the Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ, He is the example of consistency and loyalty. He's the perfect example we should pattern our lives. In the book of Lamentations, I love this. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. And that's true. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Hallelujah. And it says, because His compassions fail not. His compassion never stops. And then the next verse says, I love this when it's talking about the Lord. His mercies and His compassion, they are new when? Every morning you get up, His mercy and His compassion is brand new again to you. He's not going to stop. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for that. And then I love this. It declares about Him, pretty good is your faithfulness, Lord. You do a decent job at it. Seems like you got it under control sometimes, Lord. No, great is your faithfulness. Woo! And if his faithfulness is great, he lives in you, guess what your faithfulness can be? It can be great. It can be consistent, and it can be loyal. Can I have yes there? Yes, Lord Jesus. And then it goes on in the book of Hebrews, if you want more about Jesus. And this is probably one of my favorite verses about Jesus Christ. It gives me so much comfort and so much clarity. Jesus Christ. Who is it we're talking about?
Jesus.
Come on, shout it like you mean it.
Jesus.
Jesus Christ is the same when? Yesterday, today, and in my forever. Does that not bring you some comfort? To know that he is not going to be for you one day and against you the next. He's not going to be mad here and sad here and glad there. His love is steadfast. His love is faithful. His love is committed to you. His love will not vary. He does not know how to leave you. He does not know how to abandon you. He will not leave you as an orphan. He is the perfect father forever and ever and ever. And you can take that to the bank 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of your year. He is the same yesterday and forever. If he once did it then, he's still doing it now, and he'll be in your tomorrow already. That's why I don't dread Monday coming, because I know when I wake up, God's already in my Monday. He's already got my pathway out. I have to be consistent and loyal to follow him. Because he's already there, same yesterday, today, and forever. My, that's the only God that's ever described like that. Of all the so-called gods in the world, he's the only one that says, I'm the same. I change not. You can't make me not love you. Yesterday, we rode down in the middle of all that yesterday, thousands of people. I don't know how many thousands, several thousand people in here in the good old town of Eva, Alabama. And every person we've seen is someone Jesus loves. Now, all of them don't like him or love him back, but he created them in his image, and we didn't look into a single person's eyes that Jesus Christ did not die for. Yeah. Amen? And that's what makes me so thankful I've found him, he found me, and I said yes. Yeah. Amen? He wasn't lost, I was. Okay, make sure we understand that. Everybody say consistency. Yeah. Let me just give you a couple of definitions here. It's not going to be in your notes. Consistency basically means showing up. Again and again and again and again and again, day after day after day after day. That's consistency in a nutshell. And sometimes that can be challenging and it can be difficult. But even when it's challenging, even when you don't feel like it, even when it's difficult, what do? If you're consistent, you keep showing up. You keep going day after day. You don't give up. You don't give out. You don't give in. You stay consistent. Yeah? Let me give you another one. Consistency is when we get in kingdom alignment with our actions and our values, no matter our circumstances. Here's the thing. A lot of people will approach, we approach everything in life now as Americans with a microwave mentality. We do. We live in a world of consumers. And we live in a world of plenty. Now, I know I'm fixing to tell off on my age here, which I'm fixing to rattle off another number here pretty soon, okay, which I'm glad for everyone I get. But I can remember a time when if your TV tore up, you took somewhere and got it fixed. I know that's an odd... It's weird. There used to be TV repair shops. Y'all's young people look at it, what? Why would you want to do that? You go to Walmart and get one for $200. It's 70 inches big now. We used to take computers and get them fixed. And if your phone tore up, you took it in and got it fixed. Now you don't fix nothing. You just chunk it and go get you another one. And that's kind of the way we've learned to adapt to do everything in our life. If I don't like my kids, chunk them. Put them off on somebody else to raise. If I don't like my spouse, you out, I'll find another. If I don't like something at the church I'm going to, I'm gone. Now, you're still consistent in wanting to find love, but you're not loyal where it found you. That's why you've got to add loyal to consistency for it to be godly. Everybody get that? Because that's where loyalty comes in. If you want the true results of consistency, you got to have loyalty. That means you don't run at the first sign of not getting your way. You don't bail out. You don't throw your kids out. You don't throw this out. You don't quit on your marriage. You don't quit on your job just because you, oh, I didn't like it. It ain't worth it. No matter the circumstances. Matter of fact, how do you know you're consistent until it's challenged? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15 says this, that we, you and I, should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Leave that up there. This is happening constantly in our nation. This is happening, this is very consistent with the plan of hell for the American church. Oh, we run over here, we like this, woo! Well, I'm kind of bored with that, and I really don't like so-and-so, and I don't want to run over here. Oh, I like the way you're, I like the way y'all dress. Oh, I like that I can wear this. Oh, I like the music, they do this. Well, they have this, well, they don't. That. Christ is not about your personal taste. The Bible says he will plant you as he desires. You really don't get to pick where you go to church if you're godly. He will plant you as he desires, not as you desire. And it says, and when you will remain there, you will bear much fruit. Now touch your neighbor and look them in the eyes and say, let's have a duh moment. Come on. Look at them and say, let's have a duh moment. Anytime you are in God's will and where God has placed you, the enemy is going to try to get you to leave. Somebody say, duh. That's his job. He's supposed to come and cause division. He's supposed to come and cause separation. He's supposed to come and cause disunity and fussing and fighting and arguing in churches and life, at school and marriage, on the job. That's his job. He's supposed to do that. He's the devil. What's your job with God? Our job with God is to stay consistent and stay loyal where God has planted us. Because I don't care where you go and what you get in, when you're in God's will, Satan is going to work overtime to get you out of his will. And I mean, this is life all the way around us. Friends, I mean, everything. Everybody touch your neighbor and say everything. But we're tossed to and fro, carried away about every wind of doctrine. Every wind of doctrine is everybody else's opinion but God's. So if I get around a certain set of friends that say, man, you ain't got to go to church to be saved. You ain't got to go to church to live godly. Well, there's a partial truth in that. Church is outdated and everybody going now is just doing it wrong. We don't need church anymore. Well, Jesus says he's coming back for his church. Church was not man's idea. Church was God's idea. And the church God set up is not at your house. His house. Go out and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. But oh, we're holy over here. We know God's word. God don't want us in church. You better read your Bible. But if you get around that long enough, you'll absorb right into that. And again, I tell everybody the worst thing about being deceived is you're deceived. Now, I could agree with you and then we'd both be wrong. But I agree with the Bible. Now look, it would be easier for all of us if we was kicked back at home right now with just watching it on TV. But that ain't what God says he's going to bless. That ain't what God says he's coming back after. So we got to be consistent and loyal to be about God's word. Not just in coming to church, but being the church. Giving him worship, not just sitting through a song service. See, you can be consistent coming here and sitting through a song service, but loyalty worships God. Then verse 15 goes on and says, Ephesians 4, 15 says this, but speaking the truth in what? Not in anger. Not in just in your face anger, and going to beat you in the head with a Bible. But when we speak in love, what's happening? Well, look at the results of speaking in truth in love. That we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. When you're not tossed to and fro, you have such a much more loving place. And you speak more from love. Now, when you're tossed to and fro, you got to defend what you don't know. You got to defend a part of the Bible that you don't want to obey. Did you hear what I said? When you're tossed to and fro and by this person speaking into you and this person, when they tell you what you want to hear about your situation and your life, of course you like it. It feeds you. You're your own God. But when you get out of that and you just get what does the Bible say, and then you will change your life to be consistent and loyal to what the Word says, not what popular opinion is, not what peer pressure, not what social media says. And can I even go here? God bless good moms and dads, but if mom and dad ain't biblical, honor them, but stick with the Word. Grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, brother, sister, pastor that won't preach the Word of God. Don't be tossed to and fro. Now, put up the next one, next note. Because of our inconsistency, I don't know this, I put that down. Leave it up, it's okay. I may not even put this one in there. But because of our inconsistencies in life, people and whole organizations and society does not trust us. And we've given them a reason to not trust us. Because we say, oh, I'm in this, and I'm, whoa, it's awesome, and Jesus is Christ. Well, why are you doing this when that goes against the Word of God? Oh, well, don't look at that. Don't bother looking at that. Well, how many churches have you been a part of in the last 5 years? Seven? Something wrong with every church you went to. You got it right. Sure. How many times have you been married? 7. All of them died? No, none of them's dead. I just didn't like some things. How many abortions you had? 7. I just didn't want to have to be bothered. Boy, it got quiet in here then, didn't it? How many people you been sleeping with? Well, I mean here, there, a little bit of everywhere. Do you understand why they got a trouble trusting the church when it tries to preach to them? Because we're not even consistent with the Word of God in our life. And when we get inconsistent and we're not loyal to the Word of God, we have good excuses. Now, these excuses are so good, it lets us continue to walk in this lifestyle. That's right. I mean, we've got proficient at our excuses that justify us not being consistent with the Word, but yet we still want to be labeled, oh, I'm a child of God. And that note, go ahead and put it back up. Consistency, when done biblically, will build trust. When you are consistent, it builds a trust factor that is so comforting, it's so secure, it makes you want to be around that person or these people, this organization, or that church when they are consistent. And you just applauded for one of the things during announcements, and it did my heart good. Christmas is coming up. And we're getting ready. We're already starting. We'll be announcing some more stuff about that. Because it takes us from October to December to pull it off every week doing something. A lot of you don't see the behind-the-scenes stuff, but we started a few months ago planning and laying out again. And do you know why we do that? Because people have come to custom to know that we're going to do it. And we're consistent. And not just trying to pull something off, but we do it with excellence. And we have live animals that come in here and they just can't, that just freaks them out. You put live animals inside your church? Yes. Don't they poop and pee? Yes. Every time. Lots of times. More than they should. Sometimes. Especially the new animals. But you know what we do? We clean it up, we scrub it up, and we use it for the glory of God. And we have their trust that they're going to see something that will be something that they can enjoy with their family and get the message of Jesus to them. Because consistency, again, it builds trust. Real quickly, the words of Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 says this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now watch this. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now leave that up there for a minute. In other words, if I say, yes, I'll do that, but then I don't follow through with it, the Bible says that's from the evil one. Well, I meant to. I mean, I kind of had, well, I signed up, but I didn't realize on this day I was going to also, that it's going to have a 50 off sale that day. And I need to be there. The Bible says count the cost before you start the building. Don't sign up. We want you to sign up for stuff. We want you to be involved. And again, I'm talking church stuff. I'm talking marriage. I'm talking life. I'm talking job. I'm talking friends. I'm talking college and school and everything else in your life. Can you do this? Yes. And then you don't follow through. What do? They don't trust you no more. Or if they say, hey, man, we want you to do this. No, I'm a child of God. I don't do that. And then, well, come on. Well, then you start to compromise and you begin to do it. That's from the evil one. And again, they may trust you to turn on your faith, but then the community over here is going, they say they're this, but now we're still going to love you. Now, let me tell you something. If you carry the title Christian and you're involved in on purpose sin constantly in your life, I'll tell you, I still love you. But I'll love you enough to tell you the truth if you'll ask me. And I'll help you get out of that and get back to in the right standing where you can be consistent and loyal to the Word of God versus giving in to the wiles of the world. I love a people who are fighting their addictions. I love people who are pursuing their recovery from whatever they've messed up in. And I just want to just gather them up and just kind of hold them if I could. But I want to help them, but I can't walk it for them. That you've got to walk your own path. But if you can consistently sin, you can consistently overcome sin with Jesus. Amen? Amen. So when we show up consistently with the Word of God, when we study consistently, when we pray consistently, when we walk in kindness consistently, when we serve consistently, when we love like Jesus loved consistently, people see it and they begin to trust you more. They now can put value when you tell them about Jesus. They can now put value that you're walking out to the best of your ability. Now they can trust what you say about God and His love and His forgiveness and His power to overcome, because they've seen your life be consistent with it. Are y'all okay? Because every time you get consistent, I want you to get this concept. Every time you show consistency and loyalty, you're dropping seeds of trust around you. I can be trusted. My words are valid, not by who I am, but because of Jesus in me. Okay? Make sure you understand. It's all Jesus all the time, but you got a part. So put up the question, can people depend on me? Can they depend on me to show up? Can they depend on me to follow through? And can they depend on me to keep my word? And that's getting more rare and more rare every time you turn around in church, in the workforce. I mean, listen to me, you younger generation. Let me tell you how to succeed in business and how to succeed in a workplace. And it's a shame I even have to say this, but I'm going to give you the bare minimum. Show up. On time. Just be on time. Show up. Now, on time does not mean if you start at 8, you're there, you roll in at 8. That means you're there like at least 7:55 and ready to go at 8 o'clock. If you will just show up and be faithful to show up every day you're scheduled to work, and not constantly calling in. I think my dog has an allergic reaction. I got to stay home today. I had a late night. I really don't feel like coming in this morning, so I'm just not going to come in. If I do, I'll show up around lunch. I'm sure y'all understand. What do you mean we don't get the summers off? You know, I see y'all after summer's over. We work all the time now. Welcome to adulting. You don't get summers off. Just show up on time. Don't leave. Stay till you're supposed to leave. And this, man, it almost hurts me to say this. And if you just be decent at the job they ask you to do, you don't even have to be real good. God, that irks me to say that. You don't even have to be real good at your job if you're just there constantly. You will go up in the We promote mediocrity now. You're welcome. But can people depend on you? Are you a follow-through person? Do you keep your word? Now, let me tell you this. Yes, there are things that happen at times, but they should be far and few in between that keep you from your commitments. Rodney was on drums today singing, did a great job. Yes. Amen. Yes. Let me tell you something. One of the most faithful, consistent men of our church, along with all the others, is our drummer, Robert. You know what happened? He got called into the work this morning. That is unavoidable. And he was trying his best to get here right at time starts, but it just didn't happen. So there are the rare occasions like that. But that person, that's the first time that's ever happened. This is a family sometimes that goes on vacation, gets up and drives 2.5 hours back to church on Sunday to perform and do their God-given ability and then go back to their vacation spot. He's done it several times. Why? Because he's not only consistent, he's loyal. Yeah. I'm not doing that. Okay. I got to move real quickly. All right, these will be in your notes so you can shoot the screen or whatever you want to do. 4 principles of loyalty. 4 things that loyalty will pay off for you and how loyalty acts and reacts. Because loyalty has power. Loyalty unleashes power to you and through you. And if I had to give it a quick definition, loyalty to me would be staying power. Everybody say staying power. Not just showing up power. You hearing me? Loyalty is not just the show up part, the consistent part. Loyalty is the staying part. That's why this message is coming as consistency and loyalty today. Consistency means I show up again and again and again. Loyalty means I stay. I'm glad y'all are loving this morning. Real quickly, 1, loyalty is deeply, everybody say deeply. Deeply. It is deeply rooted in what? Love. You will never be loyal to something you don't love or someone. And man, how many times do we profess our love? You don't even know what love is sometimes, and you're professing your love. Yeah. Look, I love any kind of dead animal across a grill. I am consistent and loyal in my love for meat that has been cooked on a grill or fried or whatever. Just give me some. I'm a carnivore. Can I get a witness from all my other carnivore people out there? Thank you, Jesus. You salad people, we're praying for you. Okay, I mean, I'll eat a salad, but that's just kind of like a warm-up, okay? That's just like rabbit food, but anyway, I'm going to hop on down to the meat bar, okay? But you got to deeply love something before you'll ever be loyal to it. Marriage is not just a surface love when things are going good. Marriage is a deep love that lets you stay loyal when things ain't good. Love of God and His church and being planted is, I love my church. Sometimes it's not a perfect church, but I stay loyal because God planted me. Real quickly, moving on. 2, loyalty is the commitment to stand by someone, to hold them up when they stumble, and to celebrate them when they rejoice. Loyalty is not just in good, it's in bad too. And I'll give you another example of that here in just a little bit. Real quickly, 3, loyalty does not ask, hey, what's in it for me? But loyalty says, how can I serve? How can I support? And how can I help protect you? That's what loyalty does. Loyalty is not about me opening my hands up like a funnel. It's about me having my hands out. How can I serve and help and protect you? I'm loyal to you. I'm going to be here for you. Again, how do you know if you're consistent and loyal until it's challenged? It's like obedience and all the submission stuff you talk about in the kingdom realm. It doesn't start until you begin to have a conflict. And when conflicts comes, again, as Americans, we've learned just to tap out and go somewhere else or go to the next thing or run off over here, do this, instead of standing and fighting and learning what God wants us to learn through this process. 3, Number four, the final one. Loyalty reflects God's character. And that's my favorite one of all. When you lock in, let me tell you something. I am loyal to the Word of God. And I don't care if you like it or don't. I don't shy, in case y'all notice, I don't shy away from the hot topics with the Word of God. I'll tell you straight up, marriage is between one man and one woman, and that's Bible, and nothing else is going to ever change that. I will tell you whatever you were born with, what chromosomes, XX or XY, or whatever plumbing you got, that's what you are. You are never going to change. I don't care what you put on. I can stand in my garage all day and go vroom, vroom, vroom. It does not make me a car. And for me to think I'm a car, that's a mental illness. And if you tell me I'm a car, you're as mentally ill as I am. That is offensive to some people. I'm not saying it out of being offensive. I'm saying it out of truth. It's only the truth can set them free.
Hallelujah.
And I love every one of them. But I ain't going to compromise the Word of God. I am loyal to the Word of God over anybody else's lifestyle. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, real quickly. A friend loves when? Only when it's good. Come on, think about it. We've reduced it to that. I'll be your friend as long as you're my friend. But a friend, the Bible says a friend loves at all times. And a brother is born for adversities. Let me read it to you out of the New Living Translation. I like this. Proverbs 17, 17, New Living Translation says it like this. A friend is always, say it with me, loyal. A friend is always loyal, and a brother is born to help in the time of need. That's when you need consistent loyalty, when you've messed up, when you've not done good. You need that consistent loyalty that tells you the truth, because they love you with a real love, not just, sometimes it ain't what you want to hear. Come on, let me say it again. Sometimes it ain't what you want to hear, but it's what you need to hear. And a loyal friend and a consistent friend will tell you everything the Bible says about what you're doing. So go ahead and put up the next note. Loyalty means standing by people, not just when it's convenient, but when it is costly. Now, I'm not going to mention any names, but I have had fellow pastors and people of great ministries who have went through some ferocious things in their life, and people wanted to disassociate with them because of sometimes the failure. Sometimes it wasn't their own personal fault. Sometimes they give into something. But it was amazing how all of a sudden people that was all around them, wanted to be around them, all of a sudden cut them off, don't want nothing to do with them. And I've received a phone call and said, I want you to hear it from me before you hear it from anybody else. Here's what's going on. And I say, man, I'm praying for you. And I don't claim to understand everything you've went through, and I'm not walking in your shoes. But I know God's had an anointing on your life, and His calls are without repentance. And brother, I want you to know, even if I don't agree with the decisions you've made, I'm going to be here for you. I'm not going to quit loving you, and I'm not going to disassociate with you. Because I've seen how God's had His hand on you. And my advice is to get back in your Word and just let's go. And I'll help you in any way I can. And do you know when it's been found out I've offered that to some people have cut me out of their life because I stayed faithful. But you know what? I didn't need that in my life anyway. Because if I can't be a faithful friend to someone I know and I turn my back on them, I can promise you Jesus didn't turn His back on them. Now, if they called me in blatant sin and says I'm proud of my sin and I'm going to continue in it and the whole church and y'all can kiss my tail and I'm going to hell, I'd say, brother, let me pray for you. And if he wouldn't, and they wouldn't, and they wouldn't, and they wouldn't, I'd just say, okay, take a shot. You're sowing and reaping. But there's sometimes you can't help what happens to you. And it still happens, and it hurts. And then the church turned on you. People who was using your gift for their benefit all of a sudden... Well, I'm not going to get caught up in that. But sometimes it will cost you, apparently it'll cost you sometimes, to stay loyal and to stay consistent. But can I tell you it's worth it because it builds trust? Y'all okay? Real quickly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Let me read that to you one more time. Y'all missed a good shout. If we, and it's not really if, when we are faithless, our God is still faithful. Whew. And I love this. He cannot deny himself. He will not deny the fact that he loves you. He will not deny the fact that he called you as one of his. He will not defy the act that he says he will forgive you. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. If you repent, God is there for you. That's the love of God that is constant. That's the love of God that stays loyal no matter how bad you think you've messed it up and the devil reminds you every day of it. God says, if you come to me, I'll throw it as far as the east is from the west. I got a sea of forgetfulness. It's getting full, but it's got plenty of room for your life. You put your trust in him. Why? He's constant and he's loyal. And his faithfulness stays when ours fails. Thank God for that. Go ahead and put up the next note real quickly. God's loyalty to his people never wavers. He's faithful even when we're faithless. Say, thank you, Jesus. I want to close with two more scriptures real quickly. I'm going to have to give you the short version. But in Ruth, don't put it up yet. Ruth chapter 1 is a story. We call it Ruth and Naomi. But it's really not just Ruth and Naomi. It is Naomi, it is Ruth, and it's Orpha. O-R-P-H-A, Orpha. Not Oprah. Not Oprah. Okay. Don't go wrong there. Real quickly, Naomi, her husband took her out of the land of Israel against God's will into the land of the Moabites, where they were not supposed to be having anything to do with them at that time and season of this history. He moves his family in there. They've got two sons. The two sons marry Moabite women. We're not supposed to do that either. Okay, but they did. Her husband dies. Naomi's husband dies. She's a widow. Short time later, both her sons die. She's a real widow now. Okay? She doesn't have any living family whatsoever. All she has left is two daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Orpha. Okay? And that's it. And she needs to go back to Israel because she hasn't got anything in the land of the Moabites at this time that's going to bless her. She knows her blessing is back where she was supposed to be, and her husband never should have took her out of there to begin with. But that's another story. Sometimes we husbands don't get it right. But anyway. So she's fixed to go back to Israel. She knows in Israel that her daughter-in-laws, whom she loves, they're living with her. They're in her life. It is very apparent when you read these stories that she loves these daughter-in-laws like her own daughters, okay? But for their benefit, not hers, she tells them, you need to stay here with your family while I go back. And they're telling her, no, we don't want to leave you. You're like a mother to us. I mean, we're with you. And she again tells them, but you don't understand. I'm too old really to go back and get married and have kids for you to marry my next set of sons. I'm beyond that. And they're like, well, we just want to be with you. We've consistently been in your house. We've consistently been in your life. You've been consistently a good mom to us. And we want to be loyal to you. And so she keeps on telling them, and this story goes on. And finally, Orpha says, I understand your heart, and I thank you for watching out for my good. And so she decides she's going to stay. But Ruth, everybody say Ruth. I want you to watch. Because Naomi has showed her daughter-in-law, I don't know how long they've been married, but her daughter-in-law seen something in Naomi with consistency and loyalty. And it built a trust between Naomi and Ruth. And even Orpha, she didn't want to go either, but she finally talked herself into going and staying in Moab while they went back to Israel. But Ruth's answer to her spiritual mother is found in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. But Ruth replies to Naomi, don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, talking about Israel. And your God is going to be my God. Folks, she's going to go back into a hostile territory. But she believes, because she's with the favor of the spiritual mother, she's going to walk in that. That is consistency, and that, my friend, is loyalty. I'm staying. I'm not leaving. I know it would be better for me over here, but I don't care if it even costs me over here. I'm going. I'm staying loyal. And it goes on, and she takes it. Everybody say, that's good. Can I tell you, she takes it a step further in the next verse. Go ahead and put that up. Wherever you, Naomi, die, that's where I'm going to die. Wow. Wherever you die, that's you'll find me right there beside you. I'll die with you. Wow. I'll die with you, and I'll be buried with you. Now watch what she does here now. This is how you know she's serious. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us. You ain't getting rid of me. I am constant with my love for you, and I'm going to stay loyal. I don't care where you go, I'm going. If it costs me my life, I'll go there. And I know it's been going on 3 weeks now, but Charlie Kirk lived this life.
Yes, he did.
Wherever I go, Lord, wherever you send me, I'm going to go. Even if it costs me my life, I'm willing to try. He was consistent and he was loyal. And again, he didn't have a title of a pastor, an apostle, an evangelist. He didn't have none of the fivefold ministry titles. He carried the anointing of God with consistency and loyalty. And it cost him his life, but he got his reward. And now look at his legacy. I will allow nothing but death to separate us. And my friend, that's got to be us with God and his word. It can be costly at times. Hopefully not somebody killing you, but if that's what it is, that's what it is. But I'd rather go out like that. I'd rather go out like that than hunkered down in a spirit of fear and a spirit of intimidation and a spirit of apathy and a spirit of laziness and inconsistent and unloyal and get to the heavenly gates and have to give an account for that crap.
Right.
Last note. The world doesn't need sometime Christians. Everybody say sometime Christians. What's a sometime Christian? It's an inconsistent and unloyal Christian to the Word of God. That's what a sometime Christian is. When it's convenient, I'll stay. As long as I'm happy, as long as I'm not mad, as long as nobody offends me, I'll stay in church, I'll stay in school, I'll stay at the job, I'll stay in the friendship, I'll stay in the marriage, I'll stay at wherever I'm at. But let something go on long that I don't like, and my first mindset is to leave. Not stand, not fight, not stay, not get on my knees and pray, not cry out to God. World doesn't need sometime Christians. It needs faithful believers who reflect God's consistent love and loyalty. If you expect him to have that towards you, and I do, I expect God, because I read his word, to be consistent with his love for me. Don't you? I expect it out of him. I can know I'm going to get that because he tells me so and he don't lie. So if I expect that from him, he should expect that from me. Stand to your feet. Put up the last scripture, because this is what it's all about. To be able to stand before God whenever you get before him, whether you're 31, 61, 81, 91, 11, 10, 3, wherever you're at in life, to be able to declare these words: I have fought a good fight. Come on. I have finished the race, and I have been consistent and loyal, and I've kept that faith. You will not do that without consistency and loyalty. And by the way, do you know the first, let's read the first statement, 1, 2, 3, read. I have fought a good what? That means you're going to have to fight in life. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight to stay in your word. You're going to have to fight to keep a witness. You're going to have to fight to overcome addictions. You're going to have to fight to overcome sin. You're going to have to fight to overcome temptation. You have to fight to stay in your marriage. You got to fight for your kids. You got to fight for your nation sometimes. Where is it that you don't have to fight? Nowhere in the Bible does it say it's going to be peace all the time. If you want peace, sometimes you got to fight for it. I fought a good fight. I've been in the fight. I was faithful. I was committed to the fight, and I stayed loyal in the fight. So I fought a good fight, and I persevered with endurance. I trained in the Word. I trained in marriage. I trained in social. I trained in economical. I trained myself according to the Word of how to endure the race that I've been running in this life. And at the very end, the thing that's all, the biggest thing that's going to matter, I've kept my faith. I didn't get off track with it. I didn't blow it completely. I stayed in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He'll say, well done, good and faithful. Faithful. You know what another word for faithful is? Consistent and loyal. So you can literally read it like this. Well done, my consistent and loyal friend, servant. Enter in to your just reward. Bow your heads. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, we don't offer you church membership today. We don't offer you a religion today. We offer you doing what the Bible says, for you to repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus Christ. Let Him take your sins and do away with them and make you a brand new creation right here in front of Him today, because you cannot save yourself. You're not good enough and you're not bad enough, okay? But God is good enough, okay? He is great. And He died for you not to live eternity in hell, but where you could pronounce these words to Him by faith, and He receive you in that same faith today. So if you've never accepted Christ and you say, today I'm tired of living for myself, I want to be found consistent and loyal in my relationship with Jesus, just throw your hands up and say, Jesus, save me. Anybody in here? Anyone? How many would they say today, I've had that experience, I know I'm saved? Raise your hand. But my consistency and my loyalty has been challenged. Yes, welcome to planet Earth with the devil. And sometimes we pass and sometimes we fail. But I'm ready for to start getting the passes, outweighing the failures a whole lot more than what we've been doing. Because, folks, there's a real hell and there's a real heaven, and there's people going to both places. And every day we're walking in planet Earth, we need to be building the trust of the Lord in their eyes, to where one day they'll look and say, tell me about your Jesus. Tell me how I can get saved. Tell me how I can get out of the hell I'm living in. Tell me about the peace that passes understanding. And then you can walk right in there and share the Word of God with them, because they trust you. And then you'll be able to say, I fought the fights. I endured the race, and I kept my faith. I get to come in. If that's you, just lift your hands and say, more consistency and more loyalty. And I'm lifting my hands up too, okay? And Lord, we're just praying a consistency in that buzz right there. But Father, we love you. We bless you this morning. Everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give Him praise in here, amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.